Hello, and welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans. I'm David Bailey, and over the past nearly 12 years, this podcast has taken on many forms, from interviews and audio diaries to cultural snapshots and expat reflections. You might notice some different podcast names mentioned along the way, but it's all part of the same journey, one that explores life, people, and stories from this fascinating region I now call home. If you're enjoying the listen, I'd love it if you left a quick review or rating wherever you get your podcasts. It really helps others discover the show. And if something in the episode sparks your interest or curiosity, why not drop me a message? I always enjoy hearing from listeners. I always reply.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans podcast with me, David Pacinovich Bailey. In this podcast, you'll get a unique look at life in Bosnia and Herzegovina through my eyes, the eyes of an immigrant. Each episode, I share my experiences living in this often misunderstood country and introduce you to some of the interesting people I've met along the way. From exploring the rich culture and history to discussing the challenges and joys of immigrating to a new country, this podcast offers a thoughtful and engaging look at life in the Western Balkans.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
On the 8th of February 1984, at the Koševo Stadium in Sarajevo, fanfare marked the beginning of the opening ceremony of one of the most important and largest sporting events in the world. The Olympic Games in Sarajevo in February 1984 brought together 1,272 athletes from 49 countries, as well as the most eminent figures from the world's sporting, cultural, and socio-political life in one place. The 14th Winter Olympic Games were held in Sarajevo from February the 8th to the 19th in 1984 and marked a significant milestone in the history of the city and the entire country of what was then the Socialist Federated Republic of Yugoslavia. What started as a dream eventually became a reality through determination, hard work and unwavering enthusiasm. The story of the Sarajevo Winter Olympics began some 20 years before, however, in the late 1960s and early 1970s, when discussions about the development of skiing and winter tourism in the Socialist Republic of Bosnia and Herzegovina, which was one of the six republics that made up Yugoslavia, took place. It was during these conversations that the potential of Sarajevo to host the Games was first recognised. However, the road to candidacy was not going to be without its challenges. A significant turning point came in April 1971, when the first analysis of the social justification and possibilities for organising the Winter Olympic Games in Sarajevo were completed. And despite not being officially presented to the public at the time, it laid the foundation for creating an atmosphere of trust and motivation to move forward with this ambitious goal of hosting these Games. The journey to secure the Games continued with the formation of a preparatory committee committed to showcasing the potential of Sarajevo as a host. With the support and consent of various authorities, including the Federal Executive Council, the candidacy was officially announced to the Yugoslav public on October the 14th, 1977. Now, the road to securing the Winter Olympics for Sarajevo wasn't easy. Several other countries, including France, Japan, Sweden and Czechoslovakia, also vied for the opportunity to host the White Olympiad. Many believe that Sarajevo and Yugoslavia had little chance of success. However, the creators of the Olympic project remained undeterred. Their belief in their vision led them to continue working tirelessly towards that goal. Finally, on January the 3rd, 1978, the candidacy of Sarajevo arrived at the International Olympic Committee office in Lucerne. Months of inspections and evaluations followed, with international experts assessing the city's capabilities and evaluating the promises made. The choice of Sarajevo to host the 14th Olympic Games was announced on May the 18th the following year, during the 80th session of the International Olympic Committee in Athens. The city's opponents were the Japanese city of Sapporo and the Swedish city of Gothenburg. After two rounds of voting, Sarajevo won the organisation by a majority of votes. With the honour of hosting the Games, Sarajevo became a bustling construction site. And over the years leading up to the event, magnificent sporting facilities sprung up. For example, this huge Zetra complex, the bobsleigh and sledding track, ski jumps, halls, white tracks, cable cars, hotels, the Olympic Village and a journalist village with 2,640 apartments, as well as roads in the direction of the mountains and 28 winter sports centres across Bosnia and Herzegovina. The completion of these facilities, coupled with the organisational structures put in place, ensured that Sarajevo was ready to welcome the world on February the 8th, 1984. The total cost was $141,647,000 and were completed with a surplus of $12 million. Sarajevo was the first Olympic Games to end with a surplus. All the previous ones had debts in their wake, and many host cities and countries had difficulty covering the costs. 10,450 volunteers, with the participation of thousands and thousands of so-called pioneers, were involved in the preparation of the Games. So, on February the 8th, 1984, at precisely 2:30 in the afternoon, fanfare marked the beginning of the opening ceremony of the Winter Olympic Games.
In a celebration that is vast and grand, colourful and diverse as the world itself, the Olympic Games begin. 50,000 spectators, 15,000 athletes, 49 nations together in peace.
On behalf of the organisers, the president of the organising committee, Branko Mikulic, greeted guests and the president of the IOC, Juan Antonio Samaranch, with the best wishes of the World Olympic family, announcing that the planet will witness the greatest games in Sarajevo and that they will be the best organised games in history.
On behalf of the International Olympic Committee, I should like to thank the organisers and the people of Yugoslavia for the great efforts they have made in organizing this 14th Olympic Winter Games here in Sarajevo.
The Olympic flame was turned into a big blaze by skater Sanda Dubravčić, and the Olympic oath was taken on behalf of all the participants by the ace of the white tracks, Bojan Križaj, who forgot the words of the Olympic oath, but which the spectators at the time supported with great applause. Sarajevo, Bosnia and Herzegovina, and Yugoslavia became, for a very short while, the centre of the world. The Sarajevo Games were the first where there were no North Atlantic or Warsaw Pact boycotts. 49 national associations took part, 222 medals were distributed, 2,691 athletes and coaches participated, 640,000 tickets were sold, and 7,825 journalists and 760 newsrooms followed the events. And this was watched by about 2.5 billion viewers across the world. The competitions showcased remarkable performances by athletes such as Yugoslavia's Jura Franko, who won a silver medal in the giant slalom, becoming the first Yugoslavian to achieve such a feat at the Winter Olympics. The most successful countries were East Germany, who got 9 golds, 9 silver, and 6 bronzes, and the USSR, 6 gold, 10 silver, and 9 bronze medals. Both those countries no longer exist in 2024. One of the highlights that I remember watching at that time was watching ours, that's Great Britain's Torvill and Dean's, skating routine on Valentine's Day back in 1984, where they won a gold.
We had so many flowers that people were giving us by the side of the ice and throwing onto the ice, and we were collecting them.
And there's the first set of marks. Do I really have to go any further?
They put the first lot of scores up, and there was a roar. And then when they put the second lot of scores up, there was a massive roar.
It's right across the board. That's it. What a marvellous, marvellous set of marks.
And I remember looking up at the scoreboard and seeing all those sixes and thinking, wow.
There was something about that performance by Jane Torvill and Christopher Dean. The precision, the passion, that line of 6.0s, it defined an era. It's gone, but no one will ever forget it.
30 years later, Torvill and Dean returned to Sarajevo to dance Bolero one more time, celebrating the 30-year anniversary of their Olympic performance. They were invited by the mayor of Sarajevo ahead of the Youth Olympic Games of 2017, and the event helped raise funds for a permanent ice rink and reminded the world of their efforts to bring back the Olympics to Sarajevo. The story of the 1984 Winter Olympic Games in Sarajevo is one of determination, hard work, and triumph against all odds. From a dream and initial doubts to the successful organisation of the Games and its lasting legacy it left behind. Sarajevo proved that with passion and dedication, anything is possible. And the city and its people will be forever remembered for hosting one of the best organized Winter Olympics in history. The legacy of those Olympic Games extended beyond individual triumphs, as it provided an opportunity for the development of winter sports in Bosnia and Herzegovina. And today, 40 years on, in 2024, Bosnia and Herzegovina is now a growing popular location for those that take part in winter sports, especially skiing.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans podcast with me, David Pacinovic Bailey. In this podcast, you'll get a unique look at life in Bosnia and Herzegovina through my eyes, the eyes of an immigrant. Each episode, I share my experiences living in this often misunderstood country and introduce you to some of the interesting people I've met along the way. From exploring the rich culture and history to discussing the challenges and joys of immigrating to a new country, this podcast offers a thoughtful and engaging look at life in the Western Balkans. So that's it for this one. Thanks for keeping me company. If you enjoyed the episode, maybe share it with a friend who might like it too. And if you've got thoughts, questions, or just want to say hello, you can always reach out. Also, if you'd like to support the podcast and help me keep telling these stories, you can drop a little tip via Buy Me a Coffee. The link is in the show notes. Even a euro or two makes a big difference. So that's it then. Take care, and I'll catch you in the next episode.